It's nearly there. 1 week, less than 1 week left, and officially summer is here and the mass exodus of Madrid begins. I actually love Madrid in August because it's dead. But one of my clients actually asked me, they said, Anna, what do I do over summer to make sure that I don't lose touch with my English? And it's a great question because perhaps you're going to be nearly 2 months without your normal routine, without speaking in English at work, without having English classes, or without any Anna with Two N's episodes. Oh, how sad. So I want to dedicate this episode to talking a little bit more about that. And also specifically, how can you get the most bang for your buck? This is a great expression. And what it means is, how can you basically make the most of your time? Make sure that you're studying the right things that are actually going to move you closer and help you see results. So I want to focus on that today. And of course, as always, stay until the end where I tell you a word, structure, or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. It's a happy one this week. I like it. Hello and welcome to Anna with Two N's English podcast. The last episode before a little break from the microphone. You can find me, and I will be on Instagram over summer, Anna Two N's English. You can check me out on there. Now, even though there's not going to be new episodes, well, number one, you can absolutely catch up on the episodes that you've missed. And number two, if you want to get extra content over summer, I'm going to be sending out lots of stuff on my newsletter. Tips, tricks, embarrassing stories about me trying to speak Spanish. The key word there is trying and often failing, but sometimes succeeding. But I'm going to share some of those things with you. And of course, try and help you keep in touch with your English over summer. So if you want my extra tips over summer, make sure you sign up to my newsletter. The link is in the description box. Now, actually, before we get started, I just want to say a big shout out to someone. They didn't leave their name, but there's someone who donated 5 coffees to support me in the podcast. Thank you so much. You said, thank you for your help. You are more than welcome. I'm glad that these podcasts are helping you, it seems. And thanks a lot for the coffees. I shall thoroughly enjoy them, each and every one of them. The podcast is a free podcast. It's always going to be free. And I do it in my own time. And if you want to help support me and the content I'm producing, then you can also donate and buy me a coffee if you wish to. And I shall leave the link in the description box. Now, let's talk about summer. Summer's kind of like 2 months, isn't it? 2 months out of the normal routine. I mean, okay, month and a half. But nobody really gets back into the swing of things until kind of mid, late September. To get back into the swing of things is like to return to normality, to return to normal things. And maybe you're like me, maybe you've got a couple of weeks and then you've got a week back at work and then you've got a couple of weeks, but you're not really back into the swing of things until mid-September. That's quite a lot of time. It's quite a lot of time to be out of the routine. It's quite a lot of time not to be in contact with English. So I want to give you some encouragement and try and motivate you over this summer period. And I don't want to say, don't waste your summer, practice English every day. It sounds a bit dictatorish. I don't really want to be like that, but there's definitely some ways that you can make the most of your downtime or your wasted time and fill it with some useful things that are going to help you when you come back to your job and you're back in full swing in September. The first thing I want to do really though is I want to sort of just explain why this is important and why I want to touch on what's the most effective. So some of my clients have had some really great news recently, and hopefully I'll be able to talk more about that in the future. But lots of really good stuff going on. And one of them told me, and they're thinking about preparing for something new that's coming up in at the end of the year. And they were saying, well, yeah, I know, I'm really excited. I've started watching Suits. Well, actually, first of all, they said Suits because it's a difficult word, but Suits, you know, on Netflix, it's a kind of series that never ends. It's got like 9 million episodes and it's about two lawyers. And I thought, hold on a second. Time out. Let's just stop right there. I think this is a really, really important point to make. It's obvious. I don't want to preach to the choir, but series and films are absolutely for enjoying and watching and are a great complement, but they are not going to help you survive an interview. They're also not going to help you when you have to stand up in front of five people and give a presentation about your project progress. They're also not going to help you if you have to lead a meeting with five teams from across the world. It's a bad time investment if your goal is to improve your business English. It's a great compliment and it's fantastic for enjoying. I'm not saying don't watch series and films, but what I'm saying is you've got a very limited amount of time, right? Your time is really precious. You've got your job, maybe like a lot of my clients, you've got a family, children, pets, free time, hobbies. I mean, it's just like the free time is really small and limited. So you have to make sure you get the most out of that time that you use, get the most bang for your buck, which I think is actually an American expression, so I'm not really sure why I'm using it, but whatever. You have to get the most out of your time. And if you only do things like watching series and films and whatnot, I mean, yeah, okay, it's fine, but it's not going to help you. I mean, you have to watch, I don't know how many series. It's a very slow burn method. And also it's just the English that you use in a presentation and in a meeting is just miles away from what you're going to see, even on an episode of Suits, and that's to do with law. So they're just not the same thing. They're different ball games, which basically means they're two very different things. So you need to make sure that you're focusing on the right resources. My podcast, for example, which is focused on business English, and there are a ton of other really fantastic listening resources in business English, and I'm going to get onto those in a minute, which I always recommend. And as I said before, I'm not trying to say study every single day. I don't really even like the word study, but we'll use it here just for using its sake and it's easy to understand. But you know, you can keep in touch with English without it seeming boring and a chore. I mean, if it does still feel like a chore to you, then I would suggest you need to find some way of flipping that so that you can find some kind of something that pulls you, like a pull motivation. Something that makes you want to listen to it or something that makes you want to, I don't know, do it. Whether it's a particular podcast or a video or a channel or something like this. And look, this is a really nice term that I heard from somebody talking about discipline. Because really what this comes down to is discipline. Are you willing to sacrifice some of your free time that you could be doing something else to listen to a video in English, for example, or read an article in English, or read some business English related vocabulary? Are you willing to do that? If you have the discipline, and this is a great quote that I liked, was discipline is freedom. So even though it seems like, you know, discipline is that thing that kind of ties us down and stops us doing the things we want, actually it's freedom, because if you do the work, you can be free to do more of what you want. And if we put that in an English context, if you do the work and you have the discipline and you put in the time, that gives you more freedom in terms of what's the job that I want to do. For example, I was talking to one of my clients today and we were talking about how, you know, the future for this person is English. And maybe that's for you too. Like, you know, it's coming, whether it's that your company is going to be bought by somebody else or if you want to have a promotion, like, you know that English is going to have to be a part of that. So if you put in the work now, it's going to give you more freedom later, freedom to choose, freedom to move in terms of your job. So anyway, there's many things that are in your control that you can do. And I know sometimes English feels a little bit out, you know, languages sometimes feel out of our control, like, what are we doing? And But this is very much in your control, what you decide to spend your time on and study on. So let me roll through a few things. I think the first thing, there's kind of three things I think are very important. Number one, that it has to be realistic. Number two, that it has to be relevant. And number three, this is kind of, well, it has to be really interesting for you. So the first one is about being realistic. And I listened to something the other day where it was like, a lot of people fail at going to the gym because they set the bar too high. So like, I'm going to go to the gym every day, every day. And of course, loads of them end up failing because going from zero to every day is a massive step. But maybe going from zero to 2 days a week is a little bit more achievable. So if we apply this onto English, if at the moment you're doing very little and you want to do more, or you just want to do more, think about how you could do just a little more. Be realistic. For example, I listen to the radio, the Spanish radio, that station that I like. I don't listen to an hour of it every day. It would be impossible. I just don't have enough time to do that, or enough focus time to do that. So I listen to 10 minutes, 15 minutes maximum when I'm making my lunch. And I listen to the first 10 minutes of the radio. And you know, this is actually sometimes the best time to listen, because within the first 10 minutes, normally they tell you what are the top things that people are talking about today, what are things going on. And that gives me kind of an idea of, okay, I know what I can talk about if I have a conversation with somebody in Spanish. I know what's going on in the world of kind of Spain and whatever, so I can have conversations about that. It also helps me when I talk to my clients, because I can bring up different things. So those first 10 minutes of the radio are great. So again, being realistic, maybe it's not like I have to do something every day. Maybe it's I have to do something twice a week. Seems a little bit more reasonable and manageable in what is already a busy schedule that you have. The second thing is it has to be relevant. And this comes back to the idea of Netflix is not going to help you lead a meeting. I will repeat it and say it again. If you only watch The Crown or Stranger Things, it's going to be very difficult to tell somebody what you think about the new project that you're working on. They're great. As I said before, series and movies, there's a time and a place, but they're not going to help you make a lot of progress with your business English. And you're certainly not going to see very many results, because you're not going to be able to apply the vocabulary that you hear in that context. And I think one of the best ways to see results is actually to apply something that you've learned in context, right? Obviously. So if you learn a word and then you use it in real life, you're like, oh, great, good for me. Or if you learn a word and then you hear somebody say it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that word now. And that kind of gives you a little boost. So how can you be a little bit more relevant? What resources should you listen to? Well, anything business English focused, okay, you've got to have that filter on. And again, this comes back to my third point, which is about something that's really interesting for you. I think what a lot of people don't do is they don't focus on the resources that are available for their own industry and sector. Like if you type in HR podcast, it comes up with a million different podcasts about HR, or if you type in sales podcast, or even if you were typing in about a company, for example, and you want Microsoft podcast or whatever, you need to kind of immerse yourself in how people in your industry and sector talk, or even how people in a company you want to work in talk. So that's like a go-to, absolutely. There's also a ton of stuff on YouTube. If you type in anything related to business, strategy, leadership, anything like this. Also, the great thing about YouTube is sometimes it has subtitles. Sometimes you can trust them, sometimes you can't. And keep a notebook of words that people say. I've been doing that recently where I listen to podcasts and I actually write stuff down afterwards, because I noticed that I wasn't really taking in is like asumir. I wasn't really taking in what people were saying, and afterwards I would forget. So I'm trying to like just write down, but don't write down everything. Write down key things that you remember from that podcast. Maybe it was that video. Maybe it was a word in English. Maybe it was a phrase in English. You know, you don't need to write reams and reams. It just means a lot. Just like key points. And that also helps you when it comes to being concise and succinct. Interviews are great. I really think interviews are a good thing. to practice. And that could be an interview with a business leader. It could be an interview with, I don't know, somebody. I mean, again, it's like probably an interview with somebody on a talk show where they're asking them about their latest movie. Well, maybe not. But that can be a good place to start. There's loads of interviews with business leaders, CEOs, and whatever. Again, all of this is available for free if you have a computer and you have access to the internet. It's available. It's available for you. Also, another thing that I think could be useful is some other business English podcasts. There's one that I use in particular called Business English Pod. It's not free, but they have a fantastic detailed section where they have transcripts and workbooks and guides and you name it, they've got it. And so if you want something really detailed, maybe you just want a high level view, you just want something that you can listen to, but this really goes into a lot of depth. So I really recommend their stuff and I don't mind recommending it. I mean, they're a podcast like me, it's a different thing they've got going on, but I really think they have very high quality stuff. And trust me, I have searched the earth for business English resources, so I'm very aware of the ones that are out there, and there have been the best that I have found. Again, it's not free. You know, I'm just promoting this because of my own likes. They haven't paid me or anything like that. But I really, really like those ones. The third thing is that it has to be interesting, right? So let's just recap. It has to be relevant. It also has to be realistic, and also just really interesting. Like, one thing I always ask my clients when I'm doing work with them is, did you like that? Did you find it interesting? And you can kind of tell they're kind of like, well, yeah, it was okay, or meh. Or they're like, yeah, yeah, it was great, really liked it. So, you know, don't suffer. Try and find a speaker or somebody that you like, or a podcast that you like, and stick with it. Again, I'll, you know, repeat kind of the same thing I've said, you know, before on the podcast, which is try to stick to a few resources, not too many. Don't spread yourself too thin. To spread yourself too thin is like to do lots of things, but not very well. So better to focus on a few resources. I'll use me in my case. I listen to the radio. I read one specific newspaper and that's it. I don't do anything else. Because you can waste so much time looking for different types of resources that it's actually counterproductive. So find a couple of things that you like and stick with those. And, you know, I think that idea of noting down and keeping a notebook of what people are saying can also help as well. And the most important thing is trying to implement some of these things so that when you come back after summer, once you've had your break, you can feel that you have, okay, I've listened to some things, I've picked up some new vocabulary, or I've just reinforced what I already knew. Not a waste of time at all. Actually reinforcing and consolidating is what, you know, a lot of English practice is. It's just trying to reinforce what you already know at the same time as learning new things. So there's nothing, no time wasted just by reinforcing and keeping kind of that, you know, keeping yourself in touch with it. So those would be my tips for learning over summer. Realistic, relevant, and really interesting for you. Let's move on to my word structure or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. And this actually came up in a conversation I had with a client recently, and they were telling me that they just won a contract for something, which was fantastic. And this kind of expression just kind of came into my mind, and I thought, oh, I want to share that with everybody. And I guess it's kind of along the same lines of good news or whatever. But they were sort of talking to me about it, and I said, they said, oh, we won the contract and, you know, we're really happy about it. And I said, oh, great, happy days. Happy days. So happy days is when it's like, oh, great, fantastic. That's fantastic news. Happy days. If everything's going well, happy days. So it's kind of a comment that we say standalone. We don't really say it inside a sentence. We kind of say it as a standalone expression. So something's going well or you win something, you're like, oh, perfect, great, happy days. So I really like that one. It's a little expression and something cheery to finish us off for the summer. So happy days is my expression or phrase that you can use. And as I said, use it on its own. Don't try and put it into a sentence. But this is also what it means if somebody says it to you. They're basically saying, oh, great, that's good news. is essentially the equivalent. I hope you enjoyed that episode and it gives you a bit of a boost thinking about what you can do over the next few weeks. Look, you don't have to do anything at all. But if you want to make the most of some of those pockets of time, why not? Why not make the most of it when you're at the beach, for example, or you're doing some ironing, or you're on the plane, for example, traveling? Try and make the most of these little pockets of precious time that you have, and keep in touch with your English over summer. Trust me, it will be worth it when you go back, and it won't feel so agobiante, like overwhelming when you go back after summer. You know, try and rest and disconnect and take a break. And I'm sure you've been working super hard over the last few months. So make sure to do that and try and do this as something to enjoy. Find a nice podcast that you like. Find a video that is about your industry or sector that you enjoy and see what you can learn. Thanks so much as well for being a listener, and I really like speaking to you every week, and I will see you very, very soon. Please take care over the summer, and I will be back in September for a brand new season of Anna Wittuenz and lots more episodes to help you feel more confident at work. Looking forward to it, and speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.